Well, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, wherever you're coming from, whatever time you're watching. Hey, just want to welcome you here to the Vines Online. And we're great that you have come along. We've got 30 minutes-ish. And today particularly is Holy Communion Sunday. So an opportunity for you to pause right now and go and organize some things for communion, which we'll have at the end of the service. Look, and I just want to let you know again that the 9th of August is our first service back at the Vines. It'll be a 9:30 service. It'll be limited to 51 people. It will be about 45 minutes-ish. There will be obviously all the protocols that we have to have for the government. So spacing, social distancing, hand hygiene, signing in, and even the issue of singing. So there'll be no singing. And that's a little bit of a what? But anyway, more to follow on that. So there will also be bookings. So we'll also require some bookings. And that will be in the Grape Saturday's edition. So hopefully you already had a look at that. And there'll be more to follow this coming week. So we are locked into following the government's criteria and the advice from the Synod of South Australia. So again, some good news is also we're COVID step two, which is meaning that groups can come back and start using the church, hence worship starting on the 9th. Again, you'll need a COVID-19 plan submitted or taken off the web page from the government and liaison with our COVID-19 team. But more to follow. Eric, that's notices is coming. That was just the introduction to service. So look, I hope you're well. And I hope that during this time of our anchor series, there's been some things that you've been able to really connect and grow into your life and your faith. Because we're really trying to not just simply think about things one week and forget the next, but to grow it into our character, our very being. So as a part of that, let's focus, and I'll ask the band to lead us with their first song, There is a Redeemer. Thanks, Ben. That was great and really important to be able to reflect on it. Our scripture readings today from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And I'm also using the Amplified version for the second reading to, again, give us a different take on what's going on. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Amplified version for the verses 3 to 5. And not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardships, you know, stress, pressure, trouble, produces patient endurance, and endurance proven character, spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Look, kids talk as usual requires a bit of interpretation. What do we mean by hope? What do we understand by character? So these are some pretty big questions. And what happens when we take or add the E to the hop? What does that look like? So we'll see some of the kids' interaction with that.
What happens when we put an E on the end of hop?
Hope.
Hope.
What is it? What is it? What is hope? What do you think
what
is hope?
Is hope? So, okay, Joe's just given us a good example. Joe, do you have any hope that your front teeth will grow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why do you have hope? Where does the hope come from? I mean, that's a typical question. From within you. So you know that your front teeth are going to grow because what?
Because the bottom adult teeth have grown.
Okay, so the bottom teeth have grown. So that gives you hope the top teeth are going to grow.
So faith is based on what we know. But what do we know? How do we know stuff? What sort of stuff do we know? And we had some really good conversation about teeth.
God's love.
Do you think God will be there at a time where you are needing help, for example?
Yeah.
Yes. I know that I will get my front teeth because I have a little bit coming out.
That's right. That's right. So you think God is dependable? Do you think God is dependable? You can depend on him?
Yep.
Even if you don't see him?
Yep.
Even if he doesn't speak to you?
Yep.
You still know that he's with you, right?
Yep.
So that's the hope, right?
Yep.
I think
so,
it's a good message, isn't it? Like the linking the teeth growing through, you know, we have hope because there's been examples of people who have all their teeth. And so it's a bit like faith, you know, we have their hope there is a God and that God's dependable because we've met other people who are examples of that and say, you know, their lives have been changed. So, and then we just, I guess, have that hope for ourselves, don't we, when we open our lives to that love of Jesus. Yeah, look, it's really interesting. Hope's a really tricky word. Hop is a lot easier.
So it's a challenge. Just like last week, you know, we have the little kernel put in the hot heat pan, heats, and after the heat of hardship pops and grows. And I guess that's a little bit like our lives. And what keeps us going? What is the hope? You know, what are the promises that we rely upon to give us shape? What is it that is about God's dependability, God's faithfulness? And as we continue to talk around, Ranjini summarized beautifully a practical application of hope.
You know, like Jaden's and Gabby's birthday is coming up, but, you know, we've got to address the situation that we can't have big parties, we can't, you know, organize all of those things at the moment. But the hope is there that, you know, we'll still be able to enjoy the time with the situation that we are in. Still be happy, still be positive, you know, still radiate God's love. And keep that hope, keep that faith, keep that fire, keep that spark that, you know, things will get better and we'll all be on the mend.
Well, interesting, isn't it? Like Ranjini used the metaphor of birthday parties for Jaden and Gabby and really invited and I guess explored the whole invitation to hope, isn't it? And I think in many ways, if we just replaced the scenario of parties with church, that's really a beautiful invitation to maintain our hope in the midst of all this radical stuff as we hope things change. Because we know COVID-19 is bigger than us all. And it's not about you, it's not about me. It's a bigger picture. And part of the whole reason we're following the procedures and the guidelines of the government and the Synod Office is because we want to make sure that we recognize it's not about us. There are many vulnerable people in our community, and so we want to get into the habit. We want to get into the practice of thinking of others first. The things like the 2-meter rule, which means there's only 51 people at church. The whole thing of no singing. Now, how can we go to church and worship and not sing? Well, the whole concern about droplets, when we sing and spray our praise, what does that mean? How do we keep people safe? So again, social distancing, you know, we love getting to church and I love shaking everybody's hand and giving them a hug. But, you know, when we go back to church, we won't be doing that. And that's why we call it an interim church service, because what we're doing on the 9th of August will not be what we do for the rest of the year. We trying to evolve, and as things change, we'll change. So one of the key things is we'll continue to do an online. We'll stream online. So if you're unable to get to church or don't want to take the chance, then you can watch and join in from home. I've got a 30-second little excerpt that I did the other night, which just gives a little introduction to church. And so I'll ask Andy to play that for us. Welcome back, people. It's good to see you. I thought I'd just give you a bit of a show through here because some things have changed. Little dots on the floor, you need to wash your hands, you need to sign the book. Whew, no shaky shaky. But come in here, you can see all the chairs. What we're missing is all the people. So, I look forward to seeing you, whether we see you in the first week, second week, third week or fourth week. Whatever it is, don't forget to book online. You can do that. Check out the group for the information. And we're going to have an online presence still too. So you can keep connected with us despite the fact that you might choose not to come along. So that's all right. We'll let you know. Keep in the loop. God's peace be with you. Amen. Ciao. So you can see why I didn't get any Grammys or awards. Not only for my filming, but for my acting. But I think really, we want to be clear about why we're going back to worship. And the reason we're maximizing the amount of people is because we want to help people connect in, to get people together. That's our priority. That really is our priority. So, and again, we're also being able to create some opportunities for groups that meet in the church too. So the COVID step two means that, worship, mainly music, creative connections, Zumba, O'Grady's, these groups can then start exploring how to get back into church. They'll need to submit their COVID-19 plan from the government. They can liaise with our COVID-19 team at the Vines to make something happen. So again, check your web, check your Wednesday grapevine, your Saturday grape. Give myself, Judy, Colleen, or Lynn a phone call if you want some more information. All right, I think that is probably enough notices and conversation. Let me pause here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we consider this anchor series about character produces hope in the context of our lives, we ask that you would continue to give us hope and shape our lives into the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, look, you know, if I have to be honest, probably last week was my manifesto of faith. You know, if I had to summarize that sermon, that is probably actually how I apply my life. The framework which everything hangs off of, how I interpret relationships, how I deal with criticism, how I endure suffering and hardship. And I think if I had to simply say a summary of that, hope shapes our character as we endure hardship. And that's, I guess, what we're trying to build on today. Hope is a vital thing. Hop plus E, hope. It's a vital thing. And imagine if we had no hope. And I guess that's often we talk about despair and the pit of despair and, you know, all those dark, deep emotions that people have when they feel like they are bereft of hope. And look, there's been times when I've struggled through those times too. And, you know, being a Christian doesn't make us immune to hard times or suffering or feeling sorry for yourself or just feeling like, what is the point? You know, human beings also have the capacity to work things through. You know, Christians, we don't have the monopoly on hope. In our children's chat, it was interesting, Joe was talking about hope. Now, he didn't need to believe in Jesus to have hope that his teeth would grow back. And there's many humans in our world who really don't have a relationship with God and yet have hope. Not really sure what that hope is, but you can still have hope without faith. And many people in our society would argue that as human beings, there is that sense in which within us, there is a well in which when we connect in with, radiates and wells up hope within us. That was a bit of that, you know, reality gap, you know, the slap and the reality gap, which was really connecting in what happens when something happens to us and what we do to respond. Human beings have an inner well. Human beings have a capacity to endure hardship and keep hanging in there. And so it's not a monopoly that Christians have. So what is it about then? I guess for me, it's as a Christian, I have an additional well. It's a bit like my dad used to have an old Magna, you know, Mitsubishi Magna, when we used to have Mitsubishis and when he used to have a Mitsubishi factory down where they've got the Spaghetti Highway now, you know, down near Darlington where there's roads going everywhere. But the old Magna had dual fuel. So a gas tank and a fuel tank. And so Dad would cruise along and he'd run out of petrol and then he'd just flick a switch and the gas would come on and keep driving. Of course, you needed to make sure your second tank was full. Otherwise, you'd just be running on empty. So, and I guess in many ways, what Paul's trying to say to us is that when we try and do things in our own self, in our own strength, on just drawing on our own human well, that's a definition of sin. It almost sets us up for failure. Because what happens when our well runs dry? What happens when our human well runs dry? Where do we go? When our human fuel tank runs out, when all those skills and abilities we rely on as human beings, what happens when we find ourselves confronted with a reality that leaves us with no questions or answers? You know, I've met lots of people who don't have faith. The other day, on the Saturday, I did a funeral for some friends from Enfield United when I was there, and the church was 150 people before the new lockdown came down. But as I stood up in front of them, you know, I just wondered how many people really had faith in that group, because it was such a diverse, wide group. And it reminded me of a Newsboys song. Newsboys are a Christian band who often had clever secular lyrics to try and help people who didn't have faith begin to comprehend what it might be. And they wrote a song called Breakfast. And they were talking about how when one of their friends had bought pine pajamas. And you're thinking, pine pajamas? What they're talking about is when one of their friends died in the pine coffin. And the lyric was, wonder how those without the Lord, how do you cope? Because this morning we all mourned like those who had no hope. The Newsboys were saying, man, we've got faith. We believe in Jesus. We believe in eternal life. But our mourning was like, our grief was like we had no hope. We were so despairing at the friend's death. Wonder how those without the Lord, how do you cope? There are times in our lives when our human tank, our human wells run dry. What do we do then? You know, where do we go? in John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman whom her well, her human well had run dry. And she was hiding, trying to get water from a well where no one else was around. And Jesus encountered her and had a conversation with her. And the woman said to Jesus' question about, can I have some water? And the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up within inside of them to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Now, she didn't quite get it, but there was a sense in which what Jesus was offering her was a water that actually went beyond the simple drinking water from the well, from the simple human resources that she had. Jesus was offering her an experience where she could access God's spiritual life-giving water within her. So it was like two wells, two tanks, an opportunity to grow them. And that was a way of generating purpose and meaning. And so instead of the shame of having to slink around because all her efforts were trying to get love from humans, she now had the capacity to actually get love from God. And God's love was such that said to her, no uncertain terms, you're accepted and loved. You are worthy as you are, as you love, as you open your life to me. So great was this encounter with Jesus that this woman ran through the whole town and called everybody to come and see Jesus, the Messiah, this person who had spoken to her about her life and the well. And Jesus ended up spending 2 days there and with Samaritans who Jews hated. So amazing. So hope as Christians is something we have in addition to our normal human strength. We have both. We have a dual fuel. Not only that, says Paul, but we boast, we triumph in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. I mean, that could easily be a human statement, couldn't it? We could easily, in our own human strength, figure that out and do that. Many people do. You know, many people do. And it's a bit like that saying, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Again, that's true for human beings, all human beings, potentially. I guess the question is, what happens when, as human beings, we confront our hardest points in life? Where do we go for our resources? When our resources, our human will is dry. When the slap happens and we have this reality gap and we've got nothing to interpret, nothing to draw on to give us sense and meaning. That's where having a living water within us, that's where faith comes to play. So for me, you know, India, I used a lot of my human resources to survive and struggle. But in the end, my human resources ran out. And my spiritual resources, they were pretty thin as well. As I struggled with suffering and trying to figure out what it all meant, I then had to rediscover God's presence with me in a way that has sustained me ever since. God Emmanuel, God with us, the Christmas God. Christ, the suffering God at Easter. Those two, bookends of my faith. Those two aspects that say to me something of my life, my hope, my vision, that sustain me. So my human strength, I've worked so hard on it. My skills, my abilities, I've worked on it. But I've also worked on my spiritual, my anchor, my faith links, connecting me to my anchor, that God's love of me. That's the sort of stuff that has been so significant. So I have a dual fuel within me. Christians all do. But we need to dig them deeper. We need to build them stronger. You know, Paul really, I love this saying, you know, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. But it can all just be drawing on our human strength if we don't connect it with faith. And that's what Paul's saying. Our hope comes from knowing God is with us. The promises of God never fail. They are new every morning. We do not lose that. So as we continue to think about how we are shaped by this really strange year, I'm going to ask you to consider some questions. There's three questions I'm going to ask you to consider. And on the 9th of August, that's going to be my main focus for those who gather online and for those who gather at the church. The three questions are, what has surprised you most about the last 5 months? Did any key insights emerge that you don't want to forget? Experiences are wasted if we don't learn from them. So what have you learned about this time? About God, self, and others? Now maybe you've got some other questions you want to ask or consider. But they're really, I guess, part of the questions I want to use to shape how we do our reflections when we gather and how we look forward. So that really, I'm going to pause as we offer a prayer, and then this would be a good time to pause your online and go and get your meals prepared for communion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We ask that as we wait here and now, you will break into our lives to reshape us and make us new, to help us to be all that we can be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was going to have communion overlooking my front neighbours and everything, but I thought that was a little bit much. So you might be able to hear the magpie in the background, just adding a little bit of Australiana to our time together. So for me, communion is always one of those interesting, powerful experiences. Communion is a time of sacrifice, often a time when we think about Jesus' sacrifice. But communion is really a two-way response. Before I left for India in 1990, I was having communion at Park and Wesley Theological College, and you know, we're going through all the different parts of communion, and it came to the breaking of the bread. And as I was about to eat the bread, this thought came into my head: David, are you willing to have your body broken for me? It's like, oh, it's the slowest I've ever eaten bread. I mean, it really struck me that really what communion is about is not simply us getting, us receiving. Communion is about a mutual connection with Christ that means that our lives are at the service of Christ. Now, when we sit here in this COVID-19 environment, yeah, thank God we're in South Australia, and I really think we have lots of compassion and thoughts for those in other states and other parts of the world which are just being smashed. And so when we think about going back to church on the 9th of August, you know, there's a sense in which this is not about me or not about you, it's about others. This sacrificial sense in which what we're doing is for others. Jesus sitting at the table was not about him. When we sit at the table, it's not about us. It's about others. We are being shaped to serve others. There's a Methodist covenant commitment prayer used by John Wesley. Now, if I'm honest, I really don't like it that much because it's a bit confronting. However, it is fundamentally what the gospel is about. Now, John Wesley wrote this 250 years ago and used it as a covenant section. I'm actually going to put the words up, or I should say, Andy's going to put the words on the screen so we can follow that together and say them together. Let's respond in faith to these words. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will, put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Wow. It's not about us. It's about community. It's about others. This journey we are on. Lord Jesus, I pray that you may, through the Spirit, bless these simple elements, whether we're at home, whether we're here, wherever we might be, that your Spirit may infuse these simple earthly elements with a way of connecting more deeply with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So, today we respond and cover off and follow Paul's words about the last institution of the Last Supper. And as we do so, we remember and recall on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was gathered with his disciples. And during that night, he took some bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And at the end of the night, after supper had concluded, he took a glass of wine with its rich red color. And he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So the Christian church has been doing that ever since. For 2,000 years, we have been gathering, we have been remembering, because in our experience of communion, we affirm Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. So these are the gifts of God for the people of God. I'm going to share a short prayer, and then we will, in your own time, you will gather and we'll share these together. Lord Jesus, we've said some big words. We have opened our lives to you, and you have filled us again with your Spirit. As we look forward to the rest of this year and beyond, we ask that we may be faithful servants to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So these are gifts, God's gifts for God's people. Come for all is ready. So in your own time, break your bread, and then we can eat that together. The body of Christ broken for us. The blood of Christ shed for us. Let us share this cup together. Lord Jesus, once again we pause and ask you to come into our hearts and thank you for your presence, that you fill us with a well within us that overflows. We ask that you, as you have put your life into our hands, now we put our life into yours. Take us, stir us, and remake us, so we know that what we have been is no longer important, but what we can be with you, that is. In Jesus' name, amen. The band is going to lead us in a song called Breathe.
Please join us as we sing.
Presence living. my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you, and
thanks, band. And again, it's like filling ourselves with the love of God. It's filling that spiritual well, building our human well, helping to continue to connect in with them. So, look, again, there's lots of stuff happening. I invite you, if you've got questions, phone me, email me. Really happy to chat. And but again, it's like we need to understand this is government restrictions. Not Dave's fancy or anybody else's fancy. We're really trying to follow what the government has asked us to do. And the synod as well. So, again, phone a friend and choose life. Because you can't catch the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. So, God's peace be with you. And again, keep looking at the grapevine and the grape this week. And we'll keep in contact. God bless. Ciao.